The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
So how can the church be politically involved without getting politically seduced?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for tuning in today to The Line of Fire. A big shout out to everyone listening on K-Word, KWRD in Dallas-Fort Worth area. So thrilled to be with you live starting today. Those who don't know me, I am a Jewish believer in Jesus. Came to faith in late 1971 as a heroin-shooting, LSD-using, long-haired hippie rock drummer, 16 years old, transformed by the Lord, started preaching in 1973, and my heart beats to see you infused with faith and truth and courage. Friends, America may not know this, secular America may not like this, but the number one need, the greatest need in America is a healthy, thriving church. A healthy, thriving church will bring about healthy change to the nation. And for everyone listening live, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You know what's great about live radio? You get to ask me your questions. Some days, for example, Friday, we just open the phones for all kinds of questions. Thursday, we have a Jewish emphasis, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. But you get to call in with all kinds of questions you've wanted to ask. We get to talk about it. You also get to tell me where you think I'm wrong. You get to give me a piece of your mind. Oh, and I get to respond. I'll do it graciously. We bring together grace and truth here. We bring together word and spirit here. And it is my pledge that I will not get your blood boiling unless I also get your faith rising. So get to know us. If you want to find out more about my background, testimony, from LSD to PhD, what God's done in our lives and the way that we can serve you, just go to our website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Sign up for the emails. We want to send you a free ebook, mini book on how to pray for America and put you on our welcome tour. Tell you more about the three R's of our ministry: revival in the church, gospel-based moral and cultural revolution, and redemption in Israel. Again, number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. So a very hot topic, a critically important topic, the topic of the church and politics. Are we too involved? Is the church too involved in politics in America? Have we mixed politics with the gospel? Is the church not involved enough? Have we said, well, that's just of the world, we're people of another kingdom? Is there a healthy balance? I wrote a book that came out in 2020 on the political seduction of the church, discussing how millions of Americans had confused politics with the gospel. I was on the air with my dear friend James Robison, and James said that, Michael, the greatest political seduction of the church is to not get involved at all. And I agree that it's critically important that we make our mark, that we vote our conscience, that we hold candidates accountable. But I'm also utterly convinced that politics is downstream from culture and culture is downstream from the church. In other words, the key is for our light to shine. The key is for our voice to be heard. The key is for us to live out something different than the world and to show that God's ways are good and to advocate for them in the midst of our democratic republic. So I want to be really, really practical today. I want to be brass tacks. I want to be honest. I want to be candid. I want to cover things as best as I can. And I'd love to hear from you as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you think that the church, speaking of truly born again believers, people who really know the Lord, not just church goers or people who are nominally Christian, do you think we're too involved politically? Do you think we're not involved enough? What is righteous, godly involvement look like? All right. I did a poll on Twitter. April 28th is when I started it, for 24 hours, asking the question, generally speaking, do you think conservative Christians are too involved with politics in America or not involved enough? I gave four choices. The one that got the lowest response was, it's about right. So only 6.6% thought, yeah, we've got this down well. We're doing a good job in America. Then, not sure, that was the next one. 11.1%, we're not sure. Number two, got the second most votes with 30.6%. So this is a big jump, says we're too involved. So almost one in three that responded to the poll, was almost 1,000 respondents, 965 people responded on Twitter. 30.6% said too involved, and 51.7%, so the biggest of all, over half, not involved enough. Not involved enough. Now look, we do not live in ancient Rome. We do not live in ancient Rome as the writers of the New Testament did in the Roman Empire, I should say. We didn't live in that period of time. There was no voting to be had. There was no democracy that we were living in, et cetera, democratic republic. So Christians then had different responsibilities and different abilities to participate. The same with ancient Israel. There was not a voting system. It was a theocracy, and then with earthly rulers that were supposed to be appointed by God or honoring God. Many times Israel went its own way. But we live in a different setting, so we have to take biblical principles and apply them. The question is, how do we apply them? How do we live them out? What do they look like? What should the church in America look like when it comes to politics? Why did I write The Political Seduction of the Church? Because I saw many Christians lose their way. Should we be involved? Yes, we want to talk about how to be involved in a right way. And on this broadcast, again, if you're just tuning in or if you're new to us, listen to our great new station in Phoenix, KPXQ, or our new stations we just took on in California as we're expanding across the nation rapidly by God's grace. So, and been on the air daily since 2008, but just in the midst of a rapid national expansion. And thanks to those praying and giving and helping us do that. But many of us lost our way. Many have looked to a man. Remember when President Obama was the chosen one? Remember that? Remember when President Trump, only Trump can save America? No. There's only one chosen one. And there's only one name that belongs in that sentence. Only blank can serve America, save America. That's Jesus, all right? But so many times we get so worked up about the political leader and so worked up about the elections that our social media pages are just as ugly as the pages of the world. They're just as nasty. They're just as mean-spirited. There's no grace. There's no sharing of the gospel with love. There's no praying for our enemies. Like, no, they're I'd never pray for that one. I'd never pray for that one. What happened to us? And then all the false prophecies and the people got caught up with QAnon conspiracies. Do you know that when I called out the failed prophecies, this was after it was clear that Donald Trump would not be reinstated during the Biden presidency, that Biden would be inaugurated, shouting out in advance, but then as it unfolded, and then we began to call out some of the QAnon conspiracies and the false predictions and things like that. Do you know overnight we lost about 10,000 people on Facebook? What I felt bad about was I'm trying to help, and if you're following me on social media, hopefully we're helping you. And I felt bad. Well, I obviously wasn't able to help them because they didn't hear truth from me. They rejected it. That grieved me. I'm not grieved that we had 10,000 less social media followers. This is not about numbers. It's about honoring the Lord. And you can honor Jesus in private and be unknown and change the whole world through your prayers, right? Or you can die in obscurity and your testimony starts a ripple effect of revival. It's not about popularity. I grieve because so many were offended and so many were deceived. So we got a lot of things wrong. But the solution is not just drop out. The solution is not, well, just the world's going to hell and it's all getting worse till Jesus comes. I've heard that for over 50 years since I got saved. I've heard Jesus was coming at any minute for over 51 years now in the Lord. All right, I did another poll just before radio. I started this one. So we only got our first 335 votes. I asked this, would you like your pastor to endorse political candidates publicly or just address the key issues so you can be informed when you vote? Or just stick with preaching the Bible without mentioning political or cultural issues. So I gave four choices. One, just to include certain people, I put down, I don't have a pastor, right? So that was, out of the people responding to me on Twitter, that was less than 3%. At present, 2.7%. Then the next lowest position was those wanting their pastors to publicly endorse candidates. That was only 8.1%. Again, it's early in the polling, just the first 335 votes. It's only a couple hours in, but 8.1% said endorse candidates. 26%, so about one in four, said only teach the Bible. Now, this may shift as more people vote, or you may go over to Twitter. It's at Dr. Michael L. Brown. There's two L's in the middle, Michael L., at Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter. You can join in the poll there. But about one in four, 26%, said only teach the Bible. So in other words, don't even talk about abortion. Don't talk about gay activism. Don't talk about immigration issues. Don't talk about economy. Don't talk about international security. Don't talk about any of these issues. Don't talk about racial equality. Just preach through the Bible and let the Bible speak for itself, right? Because others would say if you preach through the Bible, of course you're going to end up talking about cultural, political issues. I believe you will, ultimately. Not all of them, but many of them. So it was about one in four said only teach the Bible, but almost two out of three so far, 63.6%, almost two out of three said speak on the issues. So in other words, thus far, those in the churches who are writing back are saying, what we'd like our pastor or pastor leadership to do is speak on the issues so we can vote responsibly. And that's what I would say the majority of the churches do that do address things. They don't endorse particular candidates as much as they say, all right, here's what the Bible teaches on abortion. Here's what the Bible teaches on homosexuality. Here's what the Bible teaches on marriage. Here's what the Bible teaches on justice. Here's what the Bible teaches on racial harmony. Here's what the Bible teaches on these various subjects. Now, we're going to give you a voter's guide, and we'll let you know where the different candidates and parties stand on these subjects so you can vote responsibly. Do I put my trust in a party? No. I vote one way in my voting because of my conservative principles, but do I put my trust in a party? No, I put my trust in God and the gospel to bring about change, but politics has its place. So how do we do it the right way, right? How do we do it involved, making a positive impact without getting seduced? That is the question. 866-34-TRUTH. And check out this word from our co-sponsor, Trivita. I highly recommend these wellness products. Check them out.
This is Michael Ellis and founder and CEO of Trivita Wellness. I'm thrilled to join with you as listeners and donors in supporting Dr. Brown and the Line of Fire broadcast. Truly a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. I believe this voice must be heard across America. We need the bold and the courageous voice of the Line of Fire broadcast. I founded Trivita to help people like you experience greater wellness. Wellness is to have the vitality and the energy to support the things that you love to do and God's purpose for your life. To each day experience positive emotions of love and forgiveness, gratitude and acceptance, and to develop a relationship with God and know His purpose for your life. This is a life worth living. It is not a destination, but a journey. And I invite you to go on a wellness journey with me. visit us at trivita.com or call and receive a free consultation on how we can help you support your wellness goals with quality nutraceutical products and lifestyle recommendations. And Trivita will give 100% of your first order to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast and will give more than a tithe on every order thereafter.
For a free consultation, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com to place your order for products to support your wellness goals. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. That number again is 1-800-771-5584. May you live with greater wellness.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Yeah, so give Trivita a call, 800-771-5584. Tell them Dr. Brown sent you. Do a free consultation over the phone. And we're coming your way with the help of Trivita on this broadcast today. Or you can go to trivita.com and use the code BROWN25. Gets you 25% discount. And then again, 100% of your first order is donated to our Line of Fire outreach. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Is the church in America too involved politically or not politically involved enough? I'm going to take some calls in a moment. But in some books that I've written on this subject in the last few years, I came up with a list of things to do and not to do if we're going to get this right. Because, look, if we just drop out, well, we're heavenly people. We're just passing through this world. The world's only getting worse. We can't mingle with the world. Politics is fleshly. It's corrupt. It's bad. It's power plays and all that. If we don't get involved, we're going to have a lot of explaining to do to our kids and our grandkids. If we don't get involved, we're going to have to talk to a whole lot of people and explain why our essential liberties were taken away, why things that others fought for in the past in terms of freedoms in America were taken away, why now our voices were being censored and canceled and there was nothing we could do about it, why we could not fight for the lives of the unborn. Hey, think of this for a minute. Think of living in the days of slavery in America. Well, I don't want to get involved politically, and things are only going to get worse until Jesus returns. And, you know, and after all, politics is dirty. Would that be justifiable? Would anyone look at us today and say, yeah, I get it. Oh, look, we're just going to share Jesus with people. You're going to share Jesus with people and not love your neighbors yourself? You're going to share Jesus with people and neglect righteousness and justice? You're going to share Jesus with people and allow one of the ugliest things in our history to just go on unchecked, unnoticed? Really? Seriously? Same with abortion today. Same with other things happening in the world around us. That as followers of Jesus, we pursue righteousness. As followers of Jesus, we love our neighbors ourselves. So of course we get involved, but it's how we get involved because we are not, let me say this plainly, the church is not the arm of a political party. We are God's people on the earth, and just as we live in America, we are only passing through this world. We are a kingdom of God people first and Americans second. So whatever party we vote for, whatever candidate we back, we understand that this is only part of the solution. It's a human element in a bigger situation that only the gospel can ultimately change. So just like there might be a famine in a land, a certain country. So we come with aid for that country, but now we try to work with them to find, is there other sources of water, there are other ways that we could help to avoid long-term famine. So there's a temporary fix of things, but now long-term, what can we do? Long-term change will come to America through the gospel. Long-term change will come by the church being the church. As I said at the beginning, the number one need in America is for the church to be the church. Not be religious hypocrites, not be trying to force our ways down other people's throats, but as followers of Jesus, shining the light, as followers of Jesus, being the salt. I've said for decades, my biggest issue is not so much the presence of darkness, but the absence of light. So here's some principles for you. I'll give you 7 points from my book, Donald Trump is Not My Savior, an evangelical leader speaks his mind about the man he supports as president. So I voted for Donald Trump as president and shouted to the world, he's not my savior. There's only one savior, only one who died for me, to whom I owe my life, my heart, my soul, my blood. I said these seven things. If we are going to be God's people rightly in the world, one, we must rise above the political fray. Two, regardless of party affiliation, we must remain independent, that we give account to God and vote his way, not just based on party affiliation. Three, we must stay involved. Four, God uses unlikely vessels, but character still matters. Five, we must stand for the issues near and dear to the Lord's heart. Six, sometimes we must function as the president's loyal opposition. Seven, our calling goes beyond patriotism. Then in my book, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, where we passed the Trump test, I gave a list of 10 things that we needed to do in order to not get politically seduced, but to stay politically involved. Our involvement is important for the good of the nation. America's health is important for the good of the whole world. All right? These are very, very important things to remember, that America has a world impact for better or for worse. So our involvement is important for the good of America. Our involvement is important for future generations if Jesus does not come in our lifetimes. But we must get involved without getting seduced. All right? And that's what I want to help you with. And through the political season, this is not a gossip radio show where here's this one. And this is not one where we attack people by name. We're going to glorify Jesus and speak the truth in love. All right, let's grab a couple of calls. Let's start with Jason in Johnson City, Tennessee. What's your take on Christians and political involvement?
So thanks for having me on. This is the pastor who was a CEO and a cop. Just calling back in. It's another topic dear to my heart. And, you know, I feel like the church has unilaterally disarmed since maybe the 70s on this, and it's why we're in the mess we're in. You know, we have all these mega churches in California, and California is only going darker and darker and darker because no one engages in politics. You know, we are Caesar here. We can't blame a tyrant, you know, 2,000 miles away for the decisions that are being made. We're Caesar. Chicago, which is hell on earth right now, continues, I guess, under judgment, to elect more and more insane representatives that make their life worse. Same thing in California. Same thing in New York City. And, you know, the church, it just seems so many times, you know, to be unwilling to weigh in on this, which is part of our daily life. I don't know any part of my life that Christ doesn't want. And the politics of today are the laws of tomorrow. And we sacrifice millions and millions of babies because of the law. And now I think, as we see transgenderism, and thank God, the good Lord Jesus, I am in Tennessee where we don't mutilate children anymore and we don't kill babies anymore. But that's something I'd like to see everywhere. But people can either vote godly or godless. And unfortunately, we're seeing more of that.
Jason, I appreciate you weighing in and for your candor. Thank God for those who are involved. Thank God for those who are active. And I do, Jason, to encourage you, like I can think of some mega churches in Texas that I've worked with, and not because of me, but I just know them. And they have, they've said, hey, we've got to impact the school boards. We don't like junk in the school libraries. We don't like some of that, the radical left activism that does not reflect the values of the larger community. So we'll get our own people to run for school board, and we'll vote for those that we think have better ethics and more care for the kids. And they're transforming school boards. It's not a matter of now everyone's going to have to read the Bible in the school. They're going to enforce that. And every kid has to memorize scripture or pray to Jesus. No, not at all. But they're getting rid of some of the crazy stuff by making an impact. But yes, in many, many, many cases, we don't speak what we need to speak. We do not say what we're supposed to say from the pulpit. We do not raise the issues that we are supposed to raise. We're often more concerned with offending people or losing a tithing member or getting unliked or unfriended on social media or things like that. Whereas what we have here's where we have to start, Jason. My life for the gospel. Like you said, he owns every part of us. My life for the gospel. Jesus died for me, and now he owns me entirely. And by his grace, I want to make an impact. For some of us, it's just a matter of voting. For others, it's a matter of informing. For others, it's a matter of lobbying. We each have our different callings, but let us do what we can. But I want to spend the rest of the show talking about how to do it with the right perspective. I will take some more calls as well. And this is not a partisan political show. This is a kingdom-based show. Please hear that. We are kingdom-based, not partisan, politically based. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Brown. I want to invite you to join our support team. Make an investment of $1 a day that will absolutely last forever. You know, the Lord has given us a holy mandate to blanket America with the Line of Fire broadcast. And on a regular basis, we hear from folks writing in, Dr. Brown, I used to be a practicing homosexual. I listened to you. I heard Grace and Truth together. I was changed. We hear from pastors who say, thank you for speaking with compassion, but giving us backbone and courage. And we know across America, so many believers are getting healthy and strong through listening to the broadcast, through listening to these messages as we tackle the controversies, the most difficult issues of the day. We even hear from former Muslims who've come to faith, from Jewish people who now believe in Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, through this broadcast and our resources. So join our support team. $1 or more per day makes you an official torchbearer. Immediately, you will get access to hundreds of hours of terrific online classes and exclusive video content. Every single month, we'll send you a brand new audio message and along with it, an insider prayer newsletter where we'll talk about the things that are going to be coming in our ministry and share some of the amazing testimonies of the fruit that you are a part of. And when you do sign up, I want to give you two books as a special gift. First, Compassionate Father, A Consuming Fire. Who is the God of the Old Testament? I take the best of my Hebrew and Old Testament scholarship, wrap it together in this book that you'll find eye-opening, answering many of the questions you have. And then Revolution, my classic book that tells you how to wage war with Jesus by overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. We are transformed. We can bring transformation to the nation. So call this number now, 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Say, I'd like to become a torchbearer, or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate Monthly Support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. And a shout out to all of our torchbearers, our monthly supporters. You are the financial backbone that helps us do so much of what we do in America and around the world. Our ministry, by God's grace, goes around the world, and you go with us. You help fuel our fires and enable us to do what we're doing. So thank you for standing with us, and thank you to each of you that is a brand-new torchbearer. It's been a joy to welcome you in recent days. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go back to the phones, let me give you 10 principles that I put forward in Evangelicals at the Crossroads, which came out in 2020. And I said this, these 10 principles, if we want to be politically involved without getting politically seduced. One, we must clearly and emphatically put the cross before the flag. There's no competition. some of you are veterans and you've given yourself for the country and lost friends for the country. We're indebted to you. We're all deeply indebted to you. My mom and dad were both World War II veterans. So, of course, deeply indebted to each of you. And I treasure the freedom we have in America. But in terms of ultimate allegiance, there's a massive difference between the cross and the flag. And we must clearly, in our preaching and our living and our priorities, put the cross before the flag. Two, we must proclaim that Donald Trump or whoever it is our president, not our savior. If you voted for Joe Biden, that Joe Biden is our president, not our savior. We must put greater emphasis on spiritual activity than on political activity. Yes, political activity is important, but prayer and fasting are more important. Yeah, I put them in order like that. Absolutely. And preaching the gospel is more important. And benevolent deeds to our neighbor, that's more important. But it's not either or. You could pray and fast. You fast one day a week. You could pray 7 days a week, and you vote every couple of years, right? There's no competition between the two. You share the gospel with your friends and coworkers, do all that all the time, and also vote. Why is it one or the other? Why must it be one or the other? Four, we must not get caught up with election fever. By God's grace, I am not going to be focusing on polls. It's getting close to what's going to, you're wringing your hands, and it's like a year in advance, and we don't even know who's running for certain things yet, and everybody's getting all worked up. Let's not get caught up with election fever. We must not justify carnality and unchristian behavior. Whoever it is you support, why can't you say, I voted for that candidate, but I don't like that when they act like this, right? I think it's detrimental. I think it's divisive. Whatever side of the aisle you're on, why do we have to support a candidate in everything they do? Why do we have to become apologists for that candidate? I'm an apologist for the gospel. I'm an apologist for the Lord. I'm an apologist for scripture, right? For a perfect God, the perfect Bible, and a perfect gospel. I'm not an apologist for a person because no person's perfect. And many times to get to the top in politics, you got to do things nasty ways. I'm talking about the world system. And I'm not going to cheer that part on. We must regain our prophetic voice. Oh, yeah, it's critically important. Of course, we're mocked for so many of the failed Trump prophecies and the nonsense. Well, he's really president now, and Joe Biden's a shape-shifting. I mean, crazy stuff. And some of these people are still on TV and preaching it, and still on radio, or still on putting our stuff out to the masses online, and they haven't missed a beat, and thinking, what, did we just want to be deceived and go on with delusion? Is there no prophetic accountability? I'm a charismatic. Is there no prophetic accountability in our midst? Really? By the way, go to propheticstandards.com to see what some of us have tried to do to address that. Propheticstandards.com. If you're a leader, add your signature if you agree with it. But our prophetic voice is not so much prophesying about who's going to be president, but speaking words of truth, speaking what the Spirit is saying to the society, taking the Word of God and applying it to the world around us. We must be holistic Christians, truly pursuing justice and righteousness for all. We don't just have one issue and we neglect others. You know, righteousness is important, but not justice. Or pro-life is important, but not once the kid's out of the womb. And no, we've got to be holistic. We must walk in love towards those who vilify us and oppose us. I would dare say, because of my public calling and the subjects God's called me to address, that I get more hate mail, more vitriol, more death wishes, death threats than just about anybody listening to me right now. It might be somebody out there with more, but not a whole lot. Not a whole lot, okay? I'm not complaining. It's my calling. And I love doing what God's called me to do. But I know, for me, it's not a personal thing. It's because of the Lord that I get attacked. If it's because of my foolishness, let me get on my face and repent. But if it's because I'm quoting scripture, I'm representing what the Lord's heart is on something, or standing for him, I'm hated for him. That's a cause of rejoicing in terms of why we're hated, but then grieving for the people. I'm going to respond with love because I want to win them. I want to change their hearts. I'm not out to curse those who curse me, but to bless them and pray for them. So we must walk in love towards those who vilify us and oppose us. We must unite around Jesus rather than divide over a political candidate. Oh, can we learn that? Even if we vote differently and we have passionate differences, can we still put our unity around Jesus first and then sit down and have a candid conversation? I don't get it. I don't see how you could vote this way. I don't see how you could vote this way. And you have an honest discussion. We must lead the nation in repentance, knowing that repentance prepares the way of the Lord, opening a path for revival, visitation, and awakening. In other words, let the repentance start with us. Yeah, I got problems with this party. Yeah, I got problems with this candidate. Yeah, I got problems with this law. Yeah, I got big problems with lots of stuff happening in America. But the repentance has to start with us. Now, I'm going to give three simple words that if we can hold on to these, we can stay politically involved without getting politically seduced. We can be God's voice rather than an appendage to a political party. We cannot mingle the gospel with the flag or confuse eternal life with patriotism. All right? So I'm going to give you three simple words, and they are these. And it's in the last chapter of my book, The Political Seduction of the Church. Three simple words are these. Number one, emphasis. Number two, priorities. Number three, trajectory. Number one, emphasis. Number two, priorities. Number three, trajectory. I'm going to open those up first back to the phones. We go to Monique in North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me, dear brother, and I'm going to try to rapid fire because I know people are waiting, but everything you said, the context of the whole thing really is just, I can only hear it as far as my take on this political. I think, in a nutshell, the problem is that those of us who are involved it's carnal. You've already gone through and said, this is how we need to look at it. This is how we need to come at it. Like you said, you're not an apologist for any one person so perfectly, because no person is perfect. And even saying that, I have to praise God for you, because though I've not heard every word you've uttered, I have never heard you being carnal. I have never heard you speaking anything out of the context of the word itself, and very clearly not being partisan. So all that to say, my take on it, and it so grieves me, I will throw this in because I won't mention the name of the person, but this is a person on the radio, Christian radio, and I don't say that this person is not saved, but my gosh, that person, the host and the caller, the issue was transgender and the caller was calling the people weirdos and we don't want the on the Christian station. And number one, there's no fruit in calling somebody a weirdo. But my point is, those of us who, and I think mainly mean well for the most part, are involved. I only hear the carnal part of it, the anger, the irritation with it, and I don't hear anyone speaking love to it. I only hear this is wrong and this is evil, and it is evil. But I don't hear the love. And let me qualify that, because people say that and they cop out, and what they really mean is they're watering it down and saying,
right,
oh,
right,
you're okay, everything's okay. And that is absolutely not what I'm saying at all. But I just want to praise God for you, because this particular reference that I'm talking about is an embodiment of what I'm talking about. I think that a lot of us are well sincere about it, possibly, but the response is totally carnal.
Yeah,
totally carnal. It grieves the heck out of me.
Yeah, thank you for the very kind words. I appreciate that. And here's the thing. We are supposed to be different than the world. That's the whole thing. So yes, we stand for issues that affect everybody. We are involved in this world, but we are of a different spirit. You know, when Saul gave David his armor, he couldn't fight Goliath with Saul's armor, because that's not who he was. So we must fight with the spiritual weapons and the wisdom we have, and that also means overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. There's a different spirit about it. So we'll stand boldly, we'll speak clearly. But you know what it reminds me of? My wife Nancy and I, we were literally in tears in the 2020 elections. We were in tears. And I voted, I told people who I voted for, I was involved, right? Whether I should tell people who I vote for or not. You know, people are asking, and okay, I thought I'd explain things, but I made clear where my hope is, where my emphasis is. But I remember Nancy and I literally in tears as we were looking at social media pages of friends of ours, people we'd known for years. I mean, solid followers of Jesus, and the pages had degenerated into petty, partisan, political pages. Here's what I mean by it. So here's a beautiful scripture, right? It's Brother Smith's page, right? A beautiful scripture he posts every day, you know, beginning of the day, favorite verse. And now later in the day, I got this YouTube video as worship. I love this worship song. I just want to share it with you today. And here's a thought the Lord gave me in prayer. All this good stuff. And then the next thing, here's some meme making fun of one of the political candidates. Maybe it was the candidate Biden making fun of his apparent senility, or, you know, he doesn't speak well. Oh, okay. That concerns me in terms of his capability. Does he have the mental acuity, the mental sharpness to function as the president effective? There are others who attack Donald Trump in that way, and he doesn't have the mental acuity, etc. So I understand the concerns, but it was like, ha ha ha, the old man mock him. It's like, what just happened? You're posting scripture 1 minute and a beautiful hymn the next minute and a great spiritual insight the next, and now you sound like some political hatchet job. And what is this? It was the mixture of things that was so grievous. So let's address issues. Let's be clear. Let's be involved. But let's do it with a right spirit, friends. All right, Monique, thanks for the call. Pastor Benjamin in Kentucky, you're next on the line. And I want to open up those 3 points for you again. The matter of emphasis, of priorities, and of trajectory. It'll make sense. 866-34-TRUTH.
Have you had a setback from an injury, accident, or surgery that left you feeling weaker and a loss of strength? Or are you feeling the effects of aging and just don't feel like you have the stamina or energy you used to? Then MyoHealth might be an answer to your prayers. Backed by 24 human clinical studies and over $20 million in government-funded research, MyoHealth contains a perfect balance of all 9 essential amino acids. With MyoHealth, you can rebuild your strength, improve your balance and mobility, have more energy while restoring your health and vitality, and start building new, lean, stronger muscle in as little as 30 days. By combining MyoHealth with a healthy diet and regular exercise, you can feel stronger at any age, have more energy, and live a life with vitality. Put the power of MyoHealth to work for you.
I started working out consistently for the first time in years, and I've lost 50 pounds. I've been lifting weights, I've been swimming, and then the muscle mass, that's what really surprises me. I can't believe at my age, I'll be 73 this fall, my life has changed. I'm not the same anymore. MyoHealth changed my life, definitely, and I just thank God for it.
I would definitely recommend MyoHealth.
I'm sold on MyoHealth.
MyoHealth tastes great, and it helps me in the gym.
I feel like I've got my strength back.
My upper arms are tighter.
I have a great deal more energy.
I encourage anybody to try MyoHealth.
It really works.
Call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com to place your order for products to support your wellness goals. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today. Yeah, by all means, visit trivita.com. MyoHealth, something part of my daily supplements that have really been a blessing to me as well. All right, so, I've got to tell you about something we've just put together for you this month that I think you'd be really interested in. I'll get to that in a moment. I'll get to Pastor Benjamin in a moment. But the three key words, if you could keep these in mind, we can be politically involved without being politically seduced. Let me say it again. Our involvement is critically important. If we would vote certain ways and hold our candidates accountable to do what we voted them in for, America could look very different in very positive ways. All right, but first word is the word emphasis, all right? The word emphasis. We must put the proper emphasis on politics, meaning it for your average believer, for your average church. I'm not talking about those called to be actively politically involved, a lobbyist, a candidate, or something like that, right? I'm talking about your average believer, your average mom, dad, single person, your average person involved in local church and working a job. Politics is not the top of our list, and it should not be at the top of our priorities. Our own relationship with God is at the top of the list. Walking with Him, loving God, loving our neighbor is at the top of the list. Being a godly husband, wife, child, single person, honoring the Lord in the workplace, seeking His face to see Him move, reaching out, sharing the gospel with the lost. That's at the top of our list. Those things are at the top of our list. Politics is down the way, but we get so caught up with it. It's everywhere in the news, and it gets you upset. Let me say it again. You'll hear it endlessly from me. I will not get your blood boiling on this broadcast unless I also get your faith rising. All right? So we're not going to get you worked up. You listen regularly. You're going to get infused with faith and truth and courage. You're not going to get worked up into a fleshly frenzy. So priorities, number one. Emphasis number one, priorities. So as I wrote in Political Seduction, in many cases, this is how we got off track. We placed too much emphasis on the elections and on the president, thereby getting our priorities out of line. Come on, some of us were better known as supporters of a candidate than as followers of Jesus. Some of us wrapped up our identity more with our allegiance to a candidate than our allegiance to Jesus. You say, no, there was no confusion in my life. I'm saying the way many of us presented ourselves, the way we got in the flesh, what we announced. Anybody driving by our house would know where we stood about a political candidate, but they know us for a year, didn't know where we stood on Jesus, about Jesus. Something's wrong there. All right, so we placed too much emphasis on the elections. All right, now for those who are uninvolved, swing the other way. Recognize our non-vote has hurt things. Recognize our non-vote has cost lives. Recognize our non-vote has taken away liberties. All right? On the other hand, some of us put too much emphasis on the elections and the president. We got our priorities out of line, as a result of which we got on a dangerous trajectory where some of us crashed and burned. So let's fix those things. Let's put the right emphasis on the gospel, the right emphasis on our role in society. Politics has its place. So in my list of top 10 things for your average Christian to do to change America, voting and being politically involved is on my top 10 list. But it's not number one or number two or number three or even four or five. Right, those things begin with our own repentance before the Lord, our own godly living before the Lord, our own evangelistic efforts, our own humanitarian efforts in our communities, et cetera, et cetera. So politics is important. They're just put in the right place. And then prioritize life around those things. So you want to be informed, you want to vote, you want to be involved, but put it in the right place. And then the trajectory will be one that puts revival in the church first, and then recognizes that it's through a revived church that the culture can be changed and the political scene can be changed. So rather than trying to get dead Christians to vote, let's get Christians alive. Let's get Christians mobilized. Let's get Christians vitalized, full of vitality, and have them vote also, right? Let's get priorities right. Awakening in the church, revival in the church is going to lead to awakening in society. And if we stay involved with positive change in society as well. All right, let us go take one more call here. Pastor Benjamin in Kentucky, what's your take, sir?
Sure. First of all, I appreciate you taking my call. And let me go. Okay. I'm a pastor of a small but growing congregation, and I guess I wanted to hear from you directly and what I guess you would encourage the role of the pastor being. And I think also, you know, I've struggled some with perhaps some of our leaders that would maybe feel stronger about politics, I guess. And, you know, while in one way I don't want to say we shouldn't to talk about politics from the pulpit, but at the same time, I kind of want to say that. And, you know, not that we're not afraid of issues at all. We're absolutely unapologetically pro-life. We are faithful to the Word of God when it comes to marriage, sexual orientation, things like that. But just would love to hear from you on your encouragement to a local church pastor that not afraid of being involved, but at the same time, things like big sweeping statements, you know, Chris, I'm 43, so those kind of things bother me, you know. You can't be part of this party and be a Christian. You
Benjamin,
know, or,
right. I heard people on both sides of the 2020 elections say you cannot be a Christian if you don't vote for Trump. You cannot be a Christian if you do vote for Trump. And I remember telling people, I thought when you stand before God, he's going to ask you where you stood about Jesus, not where you stood about Trump. So, yeah, the sweeping statement. So several things, and I'll be as concise as I can. And thank you. Thank you for calling in and for caring for the flock. So, number one, we should not be known as a Republican or a Democrat church. We should be known as a Church of Jesus, right? That's number one. Number two, we should not be seen as an appendage to a political party. Number three, we should not even be seen primarily as conservative or liberal, but as biblical. So we are biblically based Jesus followers. Number four, of course, we shouldn't be involved, it should be involved addressing the cultural issues because we live in this world. Pastor, you know, kids going to school, even a conservative area, they're still going to get bombarded with all kinds of worldly ideologies. They're getting bombarded on social media. Parents need to know how to deal with things. These are real life issues. So we can't just not talk about them. We have to as pastors. As I was urging one megachurch pastor, I was really frustrated with his refusal to give me a clear answer on basic questions that any pastor should be able to answer. And I said to him, man, this is pastoral, not political. It's not a political issue. This is an issue of being a pastor caring for the flock. So, of course, we address these issues. And just as we could not excuse a pastor during the days of slavery for not rebuking and calling out the evil of slavery, the same way I don't see how a pastor could not rebuke and call out the evil of abortion. So we call these things out. We address them when there's major news that's shaking the nation, be it a Supreme Court hearing, be it the killing of George Floyd, that we, as shepherds, we should now say, hey, let's take a Jesus look at this. Let's talk about this as followers of the Lord. And how can the church model racial equality? How can the church model values of life? How can the church model what marriage and family and sexuality are about? So we address these things, but we address them in a practical way of applying the gospel to the society around us. And then when it comes time for the elections, we don't have to do this all the time. Make sure that we understand, okay, here's where the church stands on some of these key issues. And here's a voter's guide. They're readily available. So when you vote, you just know where the candidates stand. And that's it. That's it. I think if we do that and encourage people to cast their vote, we've done what we need to do. And as you know, all the other things come first in terms of our own relationship with God. Hey, thank you, sir, for the call. Just want to tell you briefly, we've put together an amazing resource package for you this month. It is my book, Jezebel's War with America, maybe the best-selling book I've written in years, where I outline how the same demonic spirits that operated through Queen Jezebel to destroy Israel and the prophets almost 3,000 years ago are operating big time in America. I mean, manifest on many, many, many different fronts, from the rise of pornography to witchcraft to radical feminism to gender confusion to the silencing of Christian voices. When you order the book, it's a beautiful hardcover. I want to give you absolutely free a 12-hour teaching series I did called Spiritual Warfare. I began teaching on this in depth in the late 80s, dove into the Word, put this whole thing together on audio. It used to be in cassette tapes. Remember those? And it became the standard that we used. I thought, that's the best I taught it. So just like a book I wrote in the late 80s, the same with this teaching series. I want to give you the audio series 100% free when you order the book, Jezebel's War with America. So you'll find 12 hours of teaching. It's free. And your purchase of these materials helps us reach more people around the world with the good news of Jesus. So here's the number to call. This is an exclusive offer through our ministry. 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Order your copy of Jezebel's War with America. You'll find it eye-opening, really eye-opening. And then you get the teaching series, Spiritual Warfare, 12 hours, 8 sessions, absolutely free. 800-538-5275. All right, back with you tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to talk about what you need to know about predestination.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.